What is up, Relentless Church? Man, we're so glad you're here with us. I hope that I'm greeting some of you that are with us online for the very first time. So thank you for joining us. And I so appreciate Chauncey and Vasti, two of our wonderful, amazing leaders at this church, both sharing from their home, and Travis as well in worship. And man, I just love that we're, you know, embracing the reality that we're at home, and I want you to do this. And I know a few of you watch, you know, on all kinds of platforms. You may be watching this later in the week. But for those of you that are watching Sunday morning, 9:30 or 11, you're at relentlesschurch.cc. There's a chat room there. Some of you never want to get in it, but maybe, just maybe. Here's all I'm asking, real easy. Just tell us where's your spot, right? So if it's on the couch, put couch, right? If you usually watch or listen, hopefully listen, not watch, in the car, then put the car. If it's at the kitchen table, you know, if it's in the bathroom, just be real. Just right now, go ahead, it's okay. Type where you normally attend church in your house, or if it's not in your house, church online, or where you are today, whatever. Now, some of us are really good at multitasking, some of us not so much. So I'm asking you to type something in the chat, but I'm also asking you to listen. So multitask and do that. So I hope you saw the video that came out a week and a half ago, basically saying we still do not have a date that we can announce where we are confident that God wants us to reopen and regather in this room. We are trending towards that, and we are doing a ton of work. And part of that, what we have decided, and the decision we announced, which is a pretty big deal, is that we feel like we want, and God wants us to continue online ministry even once we get people back in the building. And that's for two reasons. One, there is a lovely, blessed, precious part of our church, and it's not just driven by age, it's driven by other risk factors, that when we do open these doors again, they're not going to be able to come at first, at least, and join us because of the virus and the health risks. So we want to not only continue online, but we want to begin to stream the service live once we come back into the building for those that cannot be here or those that are out of town or whatever. So that's one reason that we're called to that. The other reason is God has shown us that we can reach some people through our online ministry that we could not reach any other way. And we don't want to we're starting to get some momentum with that, and we don't want to leave that just because we're starting to meet in the building again. So here's something. I hope you've heard this. If not, now you know. If you're looking for a way to help, if you're like, man, I got to get back in that building. Here's your chance, right? This is not church services, but this is training. We're looking for people to fill out our audio and video teams because we have not streamed ever, and we're making some adjustments with our tech, but we really just need bodies. We need people that are gifted and willing to be trained on the audio side and the video side. If you're interested in either one of those, then there's two nights. It's not the same thing. We want you to come to both if possible, July 23rd, July 30th, 6 p.m. in this room. Magically, right now in the chat, there's going to appear a link that you can click on and fill out if you're interested in that. We hope you are. We're super excited about what that's all going to look like down the road. Now, today, we are continuing this series that is, like I've said, it's just more than a series to us. It's a phrase that we repeat and that really encapsulates a lot of our stories. And that the name of the series is Loving the Long Shot. And God has proven that he does. It's throughout Scripture. So each week this summer, we're looking at a different long shot. And today, we're going to look at a letter that Paul wrote to this guy named Timothy. But neither one of them are our long shots, but that'll all make sense in a little bit. But here's the background. Paul gets his own week of this series in a few weeks, so I won't say much about him. But he found this young dude named Timothy, and Timothy was a little unsure of himself, but he came to Christ. And Timothy's mom was a Christian, but his dad was not. So he had kind of that stuff to deal with. And Paul kind of became his spiritual father. And down the road, as Timothy is now out ministering and being a missionary, as Paul has trained him up, Paul writes him some letters, right? And we believe that Scripture says this about itself, that Scripture is God revealing himself, that these human flawed writers were actually carried on along by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit revealed who God was through the letters that they wrote. So this specific letters are two different letters that Paul wrote to his young protege, his young man that he was mentoring named Timothy. And crazy enough, somebody named those books 1 Timothy, and the one we're going to look at is, you got it, 2 Timothy. And here's how he starts the letter. We're going to pick up in verse 3. This is the second letter. I thank God, Paul says, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And the word I want you to see there is remember. Paul is always using and drawing us back to remember. And church, man, we need to admit and embrace the reality that remembering is a spiritual act of worship. It is not just, oh, I remembered. It is an act of worship. There's so much spiritual battle that wants us to forget when God came through, right? Some of you are right in the middle of some really hard stuff. Man, you need to go back to the last time you can remember where God came through. God has come through in so many ways in Relentless Church and your lives and the global and history. And man, we've got to remember and write down and take note and celebrate those. I've got this app on my phone. It's called Time Hop. It was cool. A few years ago. Did my voice just change? Man, wow. It was really cool when I first got it, and it's still cool, but the idea of it is it takes to, you know, today, July 12th, it'll show me every thing that I posted or tweeted and every picture that I took on my phone on that date. So it shows me 1 year ago, 2 years ago, all the way back to when I first started the account. Right, and I see stuff on there, and I'm like, man, look at how small my kids were, or I don't, you know, remember saying that, and it brings back these memories, right? That's the idea, right? Not just of pictures and not necessarily on this day, but listen, church, you need to have your way. You can do it your way. I do it my way. I do it in the computer, and I write a prayer journal. You've got to have a way to remember when God came through for you, because there's so much working against us and life is really hard. We've got to be a church that remembers how good God is and make note of it and put it on your mirror. Do it. Do something crazy, right? Put a big sign. I don't care. Do something that won't let you forget how God has come through, because that reminds us that even if we're right in the middle of it, he's gonna come through again. And that's part of what Paul continues to go with. He used this word reminded. I'm reminded. Here's the next verse, verse 5. He says to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Right? So he's encouraged. As he's sitting there, I'm remembering who you are, how much I love you. I'm reminded. And then let's break down these words. These are really important for us today, church. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Sincere. Right, some translations use the word genuine, right? And if you really do a deep dive on this word in the Greek, because, you know, the Bible wasn't written in English, it's translated into English, this word that we translate as genuine or sincere, when you get kind of the Greek context of the word that is used, it actually could be translated as unhypocritical, right? So there's this Greek word that we get the word hypocrite from. And the actual literal meaning, it's using the plays that would happen on the streets back in the day in the first century, and the actors would wear masks, and they would pretend to be somebody they weren't, and they would mask themselves and be a character. And from that word comes a translation that we use today in English as hypocrite, right? Because you're being something that you're not. So here, Paul uses a word to describe Timothy's faith, and he uses the word that is the opposite of hypocrite, the opposite of masked. In fact, the real translation is real, right? It's this real, raw, unmasked faith. That's what Paul is celebrating in Timothy. So it's this no fake, right? No fake allowed kind of, that's what your faith is. And then faith means this simple idea of God, I trust you, right? We're a church that is gospel-centered, forever-focused, multi-ethnic movement of God. We love seeing the untold and unconvinced come to Jesus. And what we are not about is getting people to believe, Right? If people say, hey, I didn't used to believe in God and now I do, that doesn't mean a lot to us and it doesn't mean a lot to God, right? Belief is a step. It's not nothing, right? But it's a step towards what it's really about, and that is trust. And when you see faith, man, it's talking about trusting God, this sincere faith that's real. And it's not on paper. It's not, hey, I trust you, God, now I'm going to go back to my life. It is this living out, it is living in this state of trust. A year or so ago, I was preaching on faith in this room. I don't know if you remember, we used to like meet together in person. It was crazy. The day will return. We were in this room and I was preaching on faith, and I used the example of, hey, I wasn't ever a good baseball player. Nowhere near. I could throw a ball, but that I had a baseball with me on stage, and I was just talking about, and I had a balloon up against this wall over here. You can't see that, but it's like, you know, 20 feet. And I was like, Who believes that I can hit that balloon on the first try with this baseball from this distance, right? And I, you know, we got a bunch of haters in our church, so I was, you know, boo, you can't this. A few people believed that I could do it right there. And then the point was, I said, okay, now I need a volunteer to come up and stand underneath this balloon and let me throw this and see if I can hit the balloon, right? And the idea was nobody, you may believe I can hit the balloon, but nobody trusts me enough to put their own head under the balloon. Except we had one young lady in one of the services that was like, yeah, I got you, Pastor. And she was walking up here, and I had to, you know, be quick on my feet to say, you know what? No, it was just an illustration. I don't trust me, so you shouldn't trust me. But the point was and is there's a difference between I believe in you, you can do that, versus I'm putting my own life in your hands. That's what God is. I'm reminded, Timothy, of your real faith, your sincere, genuine, trusting, surrendering to God, to Jesus. Jesus, he's the truth, y'all. He's worthy. That's what the gospel, our rescue, adoption, and what he did for, like he comes through. He knows what you got going on. He's with you. He's real. He has earned our trust. In the greatest documentary ever created, The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, he talks about how, you know, in this particular context, like people like to talk and get all mouthy when they're up 15. He's like, I respect the guy who talks and mouths and talks trash when they're down 15. Right? Anybody can talk and say something when they're up 15, but then they get down and they get real quiet, right? So that's who we are. We don't care what the scoreboard says. Our faith and trust is in Jesus. He's earned it. I don't care what the score is. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the pandemic. I don't care what you're feeling, what I'm feeling. The reality is Jesus is worthy of our trust. So we trust him and we walk with him. No matter what. And again, it's an active trust. When your trust goes from a Sunday thing to an everyday thing, your life will change. This trust, it's an active relationship where you're saying, God, you're leading me and I'm following you, right? It's not just a belief. It's an active relationship, you and him, where you're saying, God, you're leading me and I'm following you day by day, minute by minute. I'm reminded of your sincere faith. So you're like, wait a second, Pastor, where's the long shot here? Wasn't this, you forgot about the long shot. I didn't forget, because it's comma. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, comma. Here's the next line. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It's the only time in the New Testament the word grandmother is used. Right, this is the only grandmother that gets mentioned in the entire New Testament. Timothy is doing big things, right? He is a leader and doing all this church planting stuff. And Paul's bragging on Timothy's faith and his sincere faith, but it didn't come from nowhere. It just didn't happen. The reality is that Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who their faith influenced his faith. And that's where the long shot is, that we're talking about a grandmother in scripture in the first century whose faith impacted so much. We're talking about influence and family, and not just family influence, but legacy with your life, whatever your family situation is, the The opportunity to have a legacy, and with Lois, who is our long shot of the day, and honestly, one of my favorites of the series is Lois. Her legacy, it's not accidental, it's not random, it's not genetic, it's not her DNA, it's nothing that she passed on physically to her daughter and grandson. It was her faith. Now, faith doesn't transfer by simply living in the same house. Can I get an amen? Right? Just living together does not automatically transfer faith. It has to be intentional living, active, bold faith. Lois and her daughter Eunice, they trusted Jesus in a daily, real way, in the hard, right? And sometimes our faith really comes out best in the hard. They trusted him. They didn't have the same tradition. It wasn't about having the same belief. It wasn't having the same sorority or cheering for the same team. What they passed on was the same faith. Active, real, no mask faith. Here's what this is not, right? Because in America, it's real easy to hear, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I'm an American. I'm a Christian. My grandparents, my great-grandparents, we're all Christians. No. That's not real active faith. That's not what happened with Lois and Eunice and Timothy. Instead, Lois trusted in Jesus, and now her grandson, Timothy, is not, you know, trusting because his grandma trusted. He's trusting in the same Jesus that she trusted with, and he's living the same day-by-day, trust you lead, I'll follow lifestyle as his grandmother lived. It's completely different than just a title like, yeah, that's who we are, we're Christians. No, it is the same faith that Paul said, I'm sure it lives in you just like it lived in your grandma and your mom. That's legacy. And Timothy, you know, we could spend a whole week on him. He's doing some big things in the kingdom and some important things, and people knew Timothy's name. But yet, Lois, in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, Lois, by Paul, but really compelled by the Holy Spirit, Lois gets a shout out. In the Bible, a grandmother gets a shout out. What does she do? Did she preach some crazy message? Did she make or give a lot of money? Did she lead some crazy, you know? No, she didn't do any of that. What did she do? She simply had a real faith. It was obviously contagious and attractive. And she influenced her daughter and her grandson, and really, indirectly, she influenced generations by simply living this real, daily trust faith. I think we're in a place, I don't know, let me speak for me. I think I'm in a place where sometimes, especially these last few months, it's like, man, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We just want to do something big, and we want to change, we want to get out, we want things to get back, we want to get through. What do we do? What do we do? And family life, oh my goodness, am I the only one? Like, being a parent in this, and some of you with little kids, like, I'm praying for you. That's all I know to do, but it's hard. I know sometimes with my kids, it's just like, I'm thinking, just do something productive, right? I know we're not letting you go here or there or hang out with your friends or do any of that, and it's 94 degrees outside, but do something productive. And it's like, it doesn't feel right, and what do we do? And we want to do something big, and sometimes, actually, all the times, it's not always this grand plan. It's just day by day, real faith. Just trusting God. Trusting him in a real way with your struggles, with your issues, with your fears, with your parenting, with Corona, with everything that's going on in our culture, with a multi-ethnic church, like, right, as a gift that we believe we are a multi-ethnic church to lead change in our culture. Well, what does that look like? All of that starts with just trusting. God, you're leading, I'm following. You got the plan. You got the wisdom. We don't want to follow me. We want to follow Jesus in this. And parents, grandparents, and godmothers, and aunts, and relatives, and single moms, and coaches, and teachers, and counselors, youth leaders, man, you have influence. Anyone that you have influence over, how do I get that influence? How do I exercise influence? You just live this real, not fake, don't try, real, genuine trust, a daily trusting Jesus. I know that most of us want influence, and I think if we're real, some of us would say, I really don't think I have much influence. And if you want influence, and again, we're all different seasons of life, but I've noticed two big reasons that people don't have influence. One is they don't love deeply, and two is they don't speak truth. You have to get those things working together, right? In leadership and in influence, how do you know if you're influencing or leading? Like, you turn around and see if anybody's following you. And if nobody listens to you, if you're not influencing, if nobody comes to you for wisdom, right? If you don't have a voice in anybody's life, then that's where I would say you need to work. One, you got to love people deeply. If they're not convinced that you love them on their worst day, you're not going to have influence, right? It doesn't matter if you get number two right. If you're giving them exact truth and it's accurate and it's wise, they're not going to listen if they're not convinced you love them no matter what. And on the other way, if you love them, but then you don't give them truth, right? Then you become the friend who doesn't have influence. You're the friend they come to when they want to hear what they want to hear. They've already made up their mind. They need some raw, hard truth, but they come to you because they know you won't speak hard truth. And they say, yeah, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they agree with me. Don't be that friend, right, who loves them so much, because really you're not loving them when you don't give them truth. You need both. Truth without love is dangerous, and love without truth is messed up. But if you want influence, love people deeply and speak truth even when it's hard. And the motive for that truth is love, even if it's hard in the short term. Lois obviously had influence, and she specifically influenced her family towards Jesus. That's what we want, right? We want to influence our city, our culture, our world, our family, our neighborhoods, our school. We want to influence people towards Jesus, not just to believe in him, but to trust him daily. That's where it's at. If you just believe in him, you're going to get really frustrated because you're going to feel like something happened and I became something and I started to believe, but my life really isn't that different. The life change comes in the trusting him daily. That's what we got to call people to. If you don't trust him daily, then you're just going to be living on your own. You're not going to see a difference in your life. So we're influencing people towards trusting Jesus daily. Some of you know my story. I won't go through the whole thing of why I'm a Tar Heel fan. The basics of it is my mom and dad met at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, eventually got married and had my brother and me. And so we were raised in a Tar Heel family. And Chapel Hill, even through my larger family tree, has been a special place. So I just grew up with that. My plan and dream was to go to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and major in business. And that's what I was doing until I was 16 years old, 17 years old. And then just in high school, I was starting to learn what it looked like to trust Jesus. Not just to believe in him, but you're leading, I'm following. And Jesus was very clear. It's a long story that that was not my path. And I ended up eventually, I was stubborn, but eventually trusting him and going to Kentucky Christian University and, you know, getting a degree in ministry, and so thankful that he led me that way and it was good and all those things. But I was still a Tar Heel, and I married my wife, and that was a condition of that marriage, obviously, for her to be cheer for the Tar Heels as well. It's part of who I am. And then as we had kids, we obviously raised them, even though we were in Kentucky for their younger lives. Then we came back home here where we grew up, and we're a Tar Heel family. And my three kids genuinely pull for the Tar Heels. And that's great, and I'm not apologizing. And this is the one point where I'm glad you're not here in the room, so I don't have to hear all your smart remarks that some of you would be saying right now. But this thought came to my mind, and this is just take it or leave it. Could it be that we in the Jones house, we're more intentional about influencing our kids towards a sports team than we are towards Jesus? And that's convicting, right? Because I hope we all understand at the end of the day, we're not going to be in our groups of who we cheer for when we come together in heaven. When I go before God, there's going to be no questionnaire. You know, it's all going to be about Jesus. My kids know that as I've raised them, and they've now old enough to choose their own team. They know that Tar Heel-ness does nothing for you. You're not going to stand before Jesus and say, hey, I do cheer for the right team, right? That's not going to go well. I mean, if you said anything, you would at least say, hey, it could be worse. At least I don't cheer for the team that's called the devils, right? I don't know how you try to get into heaven when you cheer for the devils, but that's between you and God. Anyway, you get my point. We influence our kids towards a lot of things that aren't going to matter. What are we doing to intentionally influence them towards Jesus? Now, I need to be clear for young people and for all people, right? No matter your age, at the end of the day, even though we're trying to influence, and at the end of the day, you are going to choose who you trust, right? When my family goes before to heaven, when we go before God, we're not going to go as a family. They're like, right? Everyone's going to stand on their own before God, and you make your own individual choice whether you want to trust Jesus with your life or not. Ultimately, that is on you once you're old enough to understand all that. But, man, we have such a privilege to influence people and how they're going to live and who they're going to trust. And it's powerful. And you can't underestimate the power of that. And Lois had a faith that showed up in her daughter, that showed up in her grandson, that changed the world. Think about this. First century Christianity, this multi-ethnic movement, so fragile, just getting off the ground. It was impacted heavily by the faith of Timothy that was passed down from Lois. History was made. Why? Because a grandma living in Lystra, which is modern day Middle East, a country called Turkey, because a grandma in what we now call Turkey chose to have a real active faith in Jesus. And now her life was changed, her daughter's life was changed, her grandson's life was changed. Listen, we've said from the beginning, we've always said, we don't want to make a difference. We want to make history. Right? And that's not about us. We're going to be the best, this or that. We want to make history because our God is that big, and he loves the long shot, and he is in the habit of making history when we trust him. Here's a grandma who nobody really made a big deal about, and you pick up any Bible in the world, you pick up a Bible, and you're going to see the name Lois now, 2,000 years later. How crazy and beautiful and amazing is that? And you may be tempted to think this is pretty basic, and maybe it is simple, but it's not nothing here to be influenced, to have people in your life that influence you towards Jesus. That is hard to find, right? And God is so good at filling the gaps when parents aren't that for you, right? And that's a big part of what the church is supposed to be. And I was just kind of surveying in my mind this week, and maybe we're just crazy and we're different than a bunch of people. I don't think so. But when I surveyed this group of leaders at Relentless Church and small group leaders and potential elders, when I look at the men that I'm so blessed to get to be in a team with and disciple, and when I look at our staff, that's a big core group of our church. When I look throughout that group, do you know how hard it is to find somebody who was influenced towards Jesus by two parents? Like it is, I can count them on one hand easily, the number of people that had two parents that loved Jesus and influenced them towards Jesus. So what is that? Is that just, man, that's awful? No. There's so much hope in that. What happens when the next generation gets what most of us did not? What happens in 25 years when there's a whole bunch of people throughout the world that God brought through this Relentless Church ministry who were able to be influenced, maybe by parents, maybe by youth leaders, by counselors, by teachers, by coaches, and they were influenced towards Jesus, not with a message or preaching, but with the daily real faith. That's world-changing stuff, church. Every single Bible that you own, and some of you got four or five around the house, look at all of them, every single one. You're going to read about a grandma named Lois who was the first in her entire family tree to have a faith, and it changed everything, not just for her family, but for our family now, even today. So, trust him. Really, like a real, sincere trust. I'm following your leading in the day-to-day, bring that trust into your week. That's the challenge for this week, because we see through Lois, who no one ever dreamed that we would have a message or even mention of a grandma like Lois, but it was just her simple faith that changed so much. So what does that look like for you this week to trust him with everything, with your problems, with your doubts, with your addiction, with your marriage, right? With your relationships. And when I say trust him, I don't mean God help me with my marriage, right? That's not bad. God will hear that prayer, good stuff. But I'm not saying trust me. I'm saying, no, Jesus, I'm trusting you to lead me in my marriage to make it what you want it to be, because you can make good of anything. That's the point of loving the long shot. So God, I'm trusting you. I want to do it this way, or I think she, or I think he, whatever. Forget all that. I'm trusting you to do what you want to do in me to get us to where you want us to go. So I'm not leading in this and asking you in a prayer, hey, bless what I'm trying to do. No, I'm backing up and I'm trying, Jesus, get out here and get me where I need to go in my marriage, in my stress, in my fear, in my anxiety, in my education, in my finances, in my schedule, in my mental health, and all these things. Actively, proactively trusting, Jesus, lead me, because I don't want a fake faith and I don't want just a belief. I want a real trust that's daily, that costs me something. I want to put my head under the balloon and know, man, if God doesn't come through, this isn't going to go well for me. I want to put something on the line. That's how we want to live, church. I want to risk and I want to trust a Jesus that will always come through. And I don't want to do that just with these big decisions of life. I want to do that today and tonight and in the morning and in every conversation and in every decision. I just want to live this daily trust. Church, we do that? Church, we do that? Watch out this week. Watch out when we do get back in this room. We're going to be a different church. Let's trust him. Let's have that real faith, and he can help us with it. And I'm going to pray that he does right now. Father, would you strengthen our faith? God, help us run so hard from the mask, from the hypocritical, from the putting on a show, from the image, from what other people, let's run from that fake stuff. God, help us develop and grow and strengthen a real faith, a genuine daily trust. God, help us realize the areas in our life where we're trying to lead and we're not following. God, help us believe that we can make history, not on our own strength, but on your strength. And God, thank you for Lois and thank you for Eunice, who just quietly just lived a real faith out day to day, and it impacted their grandson. God, I pray for all those people that are hearing this prayer right now, who are behind the scenes, who will never be on a stage, who will never be known to the world. God, would you remind them right now that their quiet, simple, daily faith means everything to you, that they would rest in that, and that we as a church, God, would be excited about trusting you this week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go, church. Have a great week.